Morning, what I want to do is just share around just the person of the Holy Spirit. And the reason why I'm sharing on that is because something that I've had on my heart from something Cassie shared last week during worship is actually around the gift of tongues. And I'd like to take some time to actually, not today, but to actually do a teaching on what is the gift of tongues, what exactly is it, and how does it benefit us today? Now, there might be many of you here that do speak in tongues, or you desire the gift of tongues, or maybe even you here and you don't believe in the gift of tongues today. You're like, that's for 2,000 years ago. And I think I want to answer some things and look at that, but realizing before I do so, I want to ask you this morning, before we look at tongues, we have to look at the giver of the gifts, which is the person of the Holy Spirit. And I know, you know, some things of these might be very basic, that maybe you've heard these things before, but I know that I need to be reminded of these things. Because, you know, my friends, it's like the person of the Holy Spirit, who is God, refreshes us in Him. And one of the concerns I've had, not concerns, but burdens that I've had, just with us praying for this congregation, is that I do feel like the Lord, maybe some of you are here, and you, actually, Olby's word, where's Olby? She shared something this morning that was very powerful, that maybe you don't have faith for the future, or you know, but the great things the Lord will do. And I felt that there may be some of you here that are feeling a bit stale, or even, this is terrible, but I've experienced this before as well, bored with God. We're a little bit bored with God. That sometimes we're like, I know the Lord, I've served Him. You know, what new things can I learn? What new experiences can I have? And some of us, maybe you've walked with the Lord a long time, and it's just like those things are, and it's like we try and find almost a drawing from other things rather than finding our something of the life in the Lord. And I feel like the Lord, even through talking about the Holy Spirit, He's the one that takes away what is stale and brings what is fresh. He takes what is dead and He makes it alive. He takes what is lukewarm, and he brings it again into life, you know. He does those things. And I know for me, often, I've been serving the Lord now for many years. I think it's 30 plus years. And I find that I get stale. I get a little bit bored with God. I've had to repent sometimes. Lord, I've been bored of You. And so this morning, I want to just touch on some things around the Holy Spirit and looking at the person of the Holy Spirit, just to kind of trust that we... Then what I want us to do is, at the end of this morning, I would like us to pray for each other to be filled with the Holy Spirit. So I actually want to trust this morning that you would ask the Lord, even now, Lord, would You give me a hunger to be filled again with You? And I actually want us to start with something that, I wasn't going to, but I'm changing my preach a little bit. So I want us to turn to the book of Acts, chapter 2. Handelinge twee. Hey. Handelinge. Okay, handles. Handles, chapter 2. No, that's not a good translation. Yeah. Acts, chapter 2. And I want us to read something. I actually want to start with this thing of how the church started. And I want to ask the question, and we're going to look at this thing of tongues. I don't want to, again, I'm going to actually teach on it, but I want to just to, so I am changing things up a little bit this morning, and I want us to read Acts 2, verse 1 to 4, and let's have a look. It says that when the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. These were the disciples. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues of fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. I just want to just look at this thing. So the first thing we see here is that this is a time when the church was started, the church was birthed. Actually, we know on the day of Pentecost, this is when the church started. Now, the question I've often asked myself, why would God give such a strange gift to the church? Like, you know, the first thing that happens is the church gets started and birthed by the Holy Spirit. And what did they begin to do? The disciples, they don't begin to move in other signs. they suddenly start speaking in strange languages. And that's what tongues is. Tongues, essentially, is a language, a tal, that's given by God. And there's different ways we'll look at that another time. But these strange languages that are given. And now the question is, why would God give that? Like, why initially the sign of the Spirit was not maybe healing or, you know, prophecy. There was prophecy later or some other. There's tongues. Why would they speak in tongues as a sign or an evidence of the Holy Spirit and a work of the Holy Spirit? Why would that be? And the key here for us is actually to look in the beginning in Acts, where it says in Acts 2, in verse 5 actually, and it describes that these people, they came together, it says in 2 verse 5, dwelling in Jerusalem, and they came from every nation under heaven. And what happened was, there was all these different nations that came together to worship God. And the reason why tongues was given, and I'm going to bring this back to the person of the Holy Spirit just now, but the reason why tongues, the strange gift of tongues, and I'm not sure, by the way, how many of you do speak in tongues or desire the gift of tongues or want to walk in that more and more, but it is one of the things that is a sign of being a person of the Spirit and what that looks like in the Lord. But why would God give this strange gift? Why would he do that? And I want us to go back to understand that. You have to go back to the book of Genesis. I won't turn there. But in Genesis chapter 11, there's a story also of people that are coming together, all the nations, like in Jerusalem, in Acts 2, where all the nations come together. In Genesis chapter 11, there's a story where also all the nations come together. But they come together. In fact, let me turn there, because it's going to. Genesis chapter 11. And if you've got a Bible, I'd encourage you to turn there with me. Genesis chapter 11, first book of the Bible. And we know the story. It's a story of the Tower of Babel. Okay, the Tower of Babel. And it's a story where these people, let's read it. It says in verse 1. Now the whole earth had one language and the same words. And as people migrated from the east, they found a plain in the land of Shinar and settled there. And they said to one another, come, let us make bricks and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone and bitumen for mortar. And they said, come, let us build for ourselves a city with a tower with its top in the heavens, and let us make a name for ourselves. And if you've got a Bible, you can underline that if you want to. But it says this, they came together because we want to make a name for ourselves. We're going to build something as a people. We're going to make something that's going to last forever, and we're going to make something that's going to reach up to the heavens, this big tower, this big building. We're going to do that because nothing can stop us because we are in unity. And when God saw that, it's quite a strange story, because when you see what the Lord does, is actually he looks down on them and he actually judges them. And from being a people that spoke the same language, they suddenly get divided and all of them begin to speak different languages. Imagine that. Imagine being in Babel all those hundreds or thousands of years ago, and imagine being from that group and you come together. And suddenly it's like, and then your brother's speaking, you know, it's some other language, and it's like suddenly there's confusion. And it actually says later on that God confused them in verse 7. He actually said he confused their language and the judgment of God. And I want you to listen to this carefully. God judged them by breaking up their speech so that they couldn't understand one another. Why would God do that? Because the Lord recognized that they were building something from the pride of man. And they were building something to make themselves look good and look impressive. But then we go on to Genesis, and we see again that there's language. But this time, instead of there being confusion and misunderstanding, although there's tongues that happen, what happens in the book of Acts? Well, we carry on, and actually it says in Acts, let's go back to Acts chapter 2. And I am doing something completely that I wasn't wanting to do this morning, but I'm going to try to bring it back. But this is important because you'll see where I'm going with this. Acts chapter 2, and it says, verse 7, Acts 2, 7, and so suddenly these disciples are filled with the Holy Spirit, and they're speaking with all these languages, they're human languages, they're speaking, and it says in verse 6 actually, and at the sound of them speaking in tongues, the multitude of all the nations came together, and they were bewildered, because each one was hearing them speak in his own language. And they were amazed and astonished. And then he carries on, and how is it that we hear in verse 8, each one of us in his own native language, Parthians, Medes. So they're speaking the languages of the nations, but the point is this, that suddenly the people could understand one another. And the point is this, what is the point of this whole thing with Babel and Pentecost? And you're going to see where I'm going with this. At Babel, God judged them so that they couldn't understand one another because they were trying to build something in their own name. At Pentecost, God pours out his Spirit, and everyone now can understand the disciples speaking the mighty works of God. At Babel, God splits them apart because of their pride and their sin. But at Pentecost, God brings them together by his Spirit. Ah. In other words, what we find here is that God wants us to be a people that come together, and God is building something not in the pride of man. He's not trying to build a people. You know, we are not, the church, by the way, is not some kind of organization that some clever people came and thought up. Like, ooh, we know the disciples maybe sat down in a boardroom and they had a 2,000-year plan. We are going to build a church. And this is what we're going to do, and we're going to take what Jesus did. No, my goodness sake, these were men. You know, this is by the cleverness of God. And something that when I read this, I'm amazed that basically when you get saved, when we become Christians, we come into the family of God, and it's a supernatural thing. It's by the Spirit. To be a Christian can only happen by the Spirit. We must be born again. We must be made new from the inside out. And then we join a people who the very existence of the church is by the Spirit. In other words, it's God that does it, you know. By the way, God is not building any other organization on the earth but the church. I want to be very clear on that, you know. While the Lord works through our lives and our marriages and our businesses and all those things, but Jesus said, I am building my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. There's one organization on the earth that Jesus started, and he's building. What is it? The church. The church. And my friends, it's like this is God's plan, is for us to kind of be, we are a Spirit people. We birthed of the Spirit. We're a people that even your very existence is because of the work of the Spirit. And so I just, you know, I know this is kind of, I'm out there at the moment, but you know, I struggled with this as a young Christian, like, but what does it mean? And one of the things I realized as well, that when we speak about the Spirit, we're called to be a people of the Spirit, a community of the Spirit, to be led by the Spirit, to be those that walk in the Spirit. Galatians 5 says, you no longer walk of the flesh, you now are walking in the Spirit. But what does it look like? How do we do that? And I think sometimes we figure these things out together. We watch others of how they do that. I know some of us have seen bad examples of people who might be very spiritual. I know of, you know, the story of the one man who woke up in the morning and he said, okay, Lord, you know, I want to be led by the Spirit in everything I do. And he went to the cupboard and he opened up the cupboard and he looked at his shirts and he said, Lord, lead me. I want to be led by the Spirit. Which shirt should I be wearing this morning? Should it be the blue one or the yellow one or the green one, you know? And he felt the Lord say to him, son, I am your father, not your mother. So, you know, being a Christian doesn't mean being weird, where suddenly We don't make decisions and we don't actually take responsibility in life. No, God has given us a mind to love him with our minds. But while we do that, we engage with our minds being led by the Spirit, not being necessarily weird. It doesn't mean we can't make daily decisions. In fact, here's something interesting. I'll share a story with you. We had a friend in Zimbabwe. We went to visit their home group the one evening. Adi is from Zimbabwe. Anyway, we went back on holiday and went to visit this family, this community group. And the guy was sharing a story of how he was actually getting dressed one morning. He was actually a Spirit-filled man, a wonderful man, loved the Lord. And he got dressed one morning and he put on his shorts. He actually used to ride his motorbike to work. And it was warm, it was summer. So he put his shorts on and he was going to ride to work. And as he put his shorts on, he had a distinct sense, because he loved the Lord and he walked with the Lord, but he had a distinct sense where he felt the Lord say, don't put on your shorts this morning. Wear your jeans, okay? And so he did. He put his jeans on. Somehow he feels he should put on his jeans. So he put his, now he didn't ask the Lord every morning, should I put my shorts or my jeans on this morning? But he just was loving the Lord and he had this thought. And he felt it was the Lord. And he put it on. And that morning, as he rode his motorbike, and he rounded a corner. It had been raining in Harare. And as he turned the corner, he turned the corner on the white line and he ended up slipping. His bike slipped from under him and he slid across the road. And his jeans saved him from his legs being badly injured. And he looked back, he's like, Lord, you're so kind that you knew that, you know. And I think sometimes, of course, the Lord can lead us with those little things. When those things happen like that. So, maybe a question is, but who is the Holy Spirit? Who is the Holy Spirit? And obviously, if we read Acts, and what I want us to do is, I want to do a little jet tour through Acts, very quickly, just have a look through Acts, where we see that the Holy Spirit, we know that he is a person. By the way, if you're not sure about that, I would encourage, in fact, just turn with me to John. Sorry, I'm jumping around a bit. John. And have a look with me with John, let me just have a look here, other notes. John chapter 14, verse 16 to 17. And it says here, and we know the scripture so well, but I want to bring out something here that helped me, has helped me as a believer in the Lord, and helped me then to receive the gifts. And in John 14, 16 to 17, Jesus says, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of Truth. And it's interesting, you know, that who is the original helper that's given to us? It's Jesus. And the Bible actually says, many of you know this, but the word for the helper is the word parakletos. It means your defense lawyer, someone who stands on your behalf and who's working inside of you to empower you and help you to walk with the Lord. We had a lady in Oudtshoorn who was fulfilled this role where she would come alongside mothers with unborn children and help those mothers to actually want to give birth to their children, where sometimes they want to abort their children. She would be a helper, a parakletos, to come alongside them to defend the unborn child. Should do that. And in the same way, it says Jesus is our helper. He's the one who, when he was with the disciples, he helped them, he walked with them, he encouraged them, he showed them what it was like to follow the Lord. But when he went to heaven, he says, I'm going to give you another helper. And it's interesting, in John chapter 1 John 2, verse 1, 2 to 1, it actually says of Jesus, it says in 1 John 2, verse 1, it actually describes that Jesus in heaven right now is still our helper. The word, the original Greek word is translated as advocate. He's our defense lawyer. So right now in heaven, we have a helper. And then it says, but I'm going to leave you a helper, the person of the Holy Spirit. And and someone once said, you know, as Christians, you can never lose a case because you have two lawyers or two defense attorneys, two helpers who are defending you, standing on your behalf. Who is it? Jesus in heaven, that every thought of accusation, every condemnation of the evil one that comes against you to accuse you before the Father, Jesus is defending you because you are trusting in Jesus and abiding in Jesus. But on the earth, you also have a defense lawyer who's living within you, who's helping you. And I love what Jesus says. He says, but he will be with you, not it will be with you. And we know that the Holy Spirit is a person. And I would encourage you to do a study of that. If you look, read the New Testament, every time the Holy Spirit is mentioned, it's mentioned as a he, as a person who leads us and guides us. And it's interesting if we look at Acts, and I want to do like a jet tour, like quickly through Acts chapter 5. Let's look at some scriptures of how these early believers walked with the Holy Spirit as a person. They walked with them in a very real way, not in some kind of abstract way as followers of Jesus. And in Acts chapter 5, I want us to, in a sense that the Holy Spirit was their traveling companion. You know that. He goes with us where we go. He shows us Jesus. He helps us to love the Lord. He helps us to renew our love for him. Let's look at Acts 5, 3 to 4. And here it mentions these two people, and Ananias and Sapphira. And this is actually a negative example of it mentions how the person of the Holy Spirit actually says that the Spirit, let's read it in verse 3 and 4. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back for yourself part of the proceeds of the land? So this couple had been deceptive, and it actually says that they lied. Now, I want to say you can't lie to a force. You can't lie to an energy field. You can only lie to a person. And as it mentions, he in John 14, so it says, but actually you've lied to the Spirit. And then what it does, astoundingly enough, in verse 4, he actually says, let's read it, for it remained unsold. Why did it remain your own? After it was sold, was it not at your disposal? That's the part I want to get to is now. Why is it that you've contrived this deed in your heart? You have not lied to man, but you have lied to God. And what it's doing, it's equating, he's equating the Holy Spirit with God. In other words, that we don't just worship, we don't just see the Father as God and the Son as God. We know that the Spirit is God, that he has all the characteristics of God. He's all powerful. He's all knowing. He's all loving. The Spirit is part of the Godhead. By the way, if you want to understand the Trinity, you know, part of being a follower of Jesus means that we believe that God is three in one. What does that mean? It means the Father is God, fully God, the Son is fully God, and the Spirit is fully God, and yet all three of them are one. Someone said if you try and deny the Trinity, you will lose your faith, because you need to believe all three are God for your salvation. But if you try and understand the Trinity, you will lose your mind. Because these are mysteries, but it says here that the Spirit is a person who's also God. And if we carry on, we see that these individuals, this church, actually had a relationship with the person of the Spirit. Let's look at how the Spirit speaks. Chapter Acts 8, verse 29. Let's quickly look at that. And it says, and the Spirit, what happened there? Said to Philip, go over and join this chariot. And so here's this individual, Philip. He's a deacon in the church. He's an evangelist. And the Spirit speaks to him, the Spirit said. Well, interesting, huh? Let's look at the next one. 10 verse 19, how the Spirit speaks. 10:19, it says, it's up on the board, but I'd rather just read it in my Bible. And while Peter was pondering the vision, and so he has a vision of basically going to the Gentiles to begin to preach to them, to a man called Cornelius, and while he's actually about to have lunch, he's sitting and praying before lunch, and while he's praying, he has a vision, and it says, and while he was pondering the vision, what does it say? The Spirit said to him, behold, three men are looking for you. Huh, the Spirit spoke to him. So the question is, how did the Spirit speak to him? But it says the Spirit spoke. Let's look at the next scripture. Chapter 13, verse 2 to 4. And again, it's a story. Actually, there's a whole bunch of people in church that are praying and worshiping. And it says, and while they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, what does it say? The Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul. And sometimes I want to say, you know, I want to ask you, have you ever sensed the Holy Spirit speak to you? And how does he do that? Have you had a sense of the leading of the Spirit where you're walking with him? That should happen in church. Sometimes, even this morning, I want to say that through people, you know, those different people that came and shared the words during the worship, I believe that is the Holy Spirit speaking. That's one of the ways he speaks, through people. That word, especially from Albi, I really felt there was something on that word, Albi, that you shared. I felt like God was wanting to, I felt that the Holy Spirit was speaking in that moment. You know, and interesting in Acts 13, when it says, they gathered together and the Holy Spirit said, it's interesting, it says, who was praying and fasting? It was the teachers and the prophets. So sometimes God speaks through people. That's the way he speaks. And so he guides us. And you know, I find that often, and I'll share a story with you, but sometimes walking through life in church and out in the world, I need the Lord to guide me and direct me. It doesn't happen very often. I don't ever hear a clear sense. I just obey the Lord. But sometimes I sense his direction and leading. One clear example was a number of years ago, we sensed the Lord, we had a desire to plant a church. We knew the Lord had called us. And it was a Saturday morning, and we were living in Tableview, and I was busy praying for Oudtshoorn. We had a little group of people meeting in Oudtshoorn and Die Klinkerroer. And while I was there, I was a school teacher. This was around 2004. I was a school teacher in the school in Milnerton High School. And while I was praying on the Saturday morning, I was just praying for Oudtshoorn. I just had them on my heart. And while I was praying, I just had a distinct thought that came into my mind. And I felt the Lord say, you're going to go to Oudtshoorn. Jy gaan Oudtshoorn toe. Now, ek is Engels. Okay? Ek's a rooinek. All right? I'm as English as you get. And I felt the Lord say, and it was out the blue. Like, I remember just, where did that come from? And I knew, and I believe the Holy Spirit said. Now, what we did is we didn't say, I actually spoke to my wife that I took her out for dinner, and I said, babe, this is what I had. I was praying, and I had this thought come to me, but I knew it wasn't me. And I said, what do you think? And she's like, let's go. I'm in. Now, Adi's from Zimbabwe. She learned French as a second language. Geen Afrikaans. And then what we did is, now we don't just go on our own because, you know, maybe I could have had too much pizza the day before. You don't know, too much cheese. You know, you don't know. And so what I did was, because I know that we see in part and we know in part, I actually went and we took it to the elders. And we said, I went to Andrew. Andrew, this is what we believe. I went to the elders. This is what we feel the Lord saying. What do you think? And as they prayed about it, everyone sensed, no, the Lord has spoken to you. We want to send you. And they sent us. And in the end, we planted this church in the Klinkerroer. And the church grew. When we arrived, there were 8 people. By the time we left, there were about 130 folk. We had a church, we had elders, deacons, home group leaders. We worked into the town, and then we had done something. But the Lord had said. And that's happened to us many times over the years, where the Lord has said. And so we know that the Lord does lead us. But not only that, let's look at Acts 16, 6 to 7. I'm going to land soon, actually. Acts 16, 6 to 7. Not only does the Lord say go or speak, and I want to say, again, we must be very careful to be cowboys where you go on your own. We're part of a family. And I do want to say this, that, you know, we can hear in part. And we do sometimes think we've heard something, but that's not necessarily the Lord. And the safety for us, my friends, is we're part of a group that we can actually be accountable to one another. And that means if you felt the Lord say, you're going to move to Russia, you don't just go. You go and you submit that and you bring that into a family that and to leaders that hear the Lord with you. And we can say, yes, but maybe not now. Or maybe yes, go. Or maybe no, we think you've missed it. And that's the safety of being part of a family of God. But the point is we have to sometimes take a risk and just learn to hear the Lord in that way. But let's see Acts 16, verse 6 to 7. And here it mentions Acts 16, 6 to 7. And they went through the region of Phrygia and Galatia. And then it says that the Holy Spirit, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. So here, while they're traveling, preaching the gospel, God says, stop, go, don't go. Don't go there. Oh, okay. How did the Holy Spirit say no? We don't know, possibly in a dream. We're not sure. But the point is that we serve a living God who does speak in different ways, through prophecy, through other people, through dreams. There's ways through sometimes our thoughts, but always in a way that will come and, number one, point us to Jesus, that the Holy Spirit will always awaken in us a love for the Son, a love for Jesus. And secondly, the Holy Spirit will never contradict the Scriptures. The Holy Spirit will always point us to the truth. And in John 14, it says, He is the Spirit of truth. And one of the ways when we are a Spirit-led people, a Spirit-filled people, is when I said not being weird, but wild. You know, the Father, maybe He asks us to do things that might seem wild, even weird sometimes. Like, I want you to give away some of your money. What? You know, you become a Christian, and it's like, now the Lord says, all of what you have is mine. You know, I don't just baptize your heart, I baptize your wallet. You know, now you're all in. You know, I'm your Lord. That means your time, your resources, your marriage, your family, your everything about you belongs to the Lord. And I remember learning that and having to say, but Lord, you want me to give away part of my money? And He says, yes, because it belongs to me, and I am a God who gives you all things. It comes from me. And I remember having to wrestle through that. And my family thought I was weird. What? You give money every week, a month to the church? By faith? Yeah, I do it by faith. And I think sometimes God will ask us, but He'll never ask us to do something that's weird in the sense, because we see a lot of weird things around. I'll give you an example. We had a friend, I heard this actually from Dudley Daniel. He knew of a guy who was an evangelist, and he was a secret evangelist. And he would go in Johannesburg, on the streets of Johannesburg, and he believed that the evangelism that the Lord told him to do was to hide in the shadows in the alleyways of Johannesburg. And he'd hide in the shadows in the alleyways, and when people walked past, he'd go, Sukisus, Sukisus. And then he'd hide away like that, and they'd go, huh. And that was that was what he felt he should do. Now, maybe the Lord might ask you to do something weird like that as a one-off. I don't know. But I want to say to you, my friends, that is not the heart of God, is that He wants us to reach out to people and to see us face to face. That He reaches people through people, not through hiding in the shadows. Those aren't the ways of the Lord. That's not consistent with the character of God that we find in the New Testament. And so, you know, and sometimes I think we've all met Christians that are weird. And I remember that was why, even as a young Christian, I met believers who just, and I think what we need to be is God wants us to be a wild people. He wants us to take risks and to step out. It might seem weird, but as long as it's wild. I don't know if I'm making sense. I'm trying to articulate something here. And I think the Lord wants us to, being part of His people, His church, means that God is speaking, and He's even started the church by the Spirit. We're not trying to make a name for ourselves. And if you think that Josh Jen is all about, we're going to make a name, Josh Jen. May the name Josh Jen die. It's not about the name. The name facilitates the aim, because we want to build healthy churches that glorify God. We just use the name to give identity to what we believe the Lord has called us to. We're not trying to make a name. We're trying to make a name for Him. And so I want to ask you is that I think the Lord wants to help us to be a Spirit people, a people that walk with the person of the Holy Spirit, to love Jesus. And I'd like to pray for us this morning that we do so, that we would ask the Lord to give us to refresh us, that maybe you've even kind of have stepped back and you don't know what great things, you've even stopped trusting the Lord for great things. Is that we would see great, great things take place through our lives. Just ordinary people like you and I. You know, we are nobodies. We're nobodies. God uses nobodies to tell everybody about somebody, as someone once said. That's who we are, you know. And so the Lord wants to do that. And I've completely botched all my notes. I've had three or four things in my head, but I've just had a sense that, and I actually do want to get to the gift of tongues. There's some things we want to get to, but we have time. And the Lord is busy working, and I know He's been busy working. I think one thing that Adi and I have enjoyed coming into Paul is we can see the evidence of God's grace. And it's been beautiful to see, you know. We really want to get to know many of you. We want to build relationship. But we can see that the Lord is at work. And the Lord has been at work. But we know that he, of course, he's continued to work. But maybe some of you here have got a little bit stale, or a bit stuck, or a bit bored, or maybe even just a bit like I'm just going through the motions. Maybe you've got, and I feel like the Lord wants to come and awaken something in us this morning. Not because of the strength of man. You don't have to say, yes, oh, I'm going to try harder. Today, I'm going to do it, you know. We white knuckle. I'm going to take down my Goliath. Yes, I'm going to do it, you know. No, that's self-help. You are not David taking down Goliath. Jesus is David. And we hide ourselves in him. Say, God, I can't do this in my own strength. I don't even know how to serve you in my own strength. Who am I? I'm barely getting through the week. That's us. But a life of God is a life in the Spirit where he empowers you to do what has been impossible for you to do in the flesh. Impossible for you to do. And it comes as we say, Lord, I can't, but you can. I can't, Lord. I can't do what you've asked me to do, but you can. And so I would like us to stand and let's respond. Let's stand. Let's just close our eyes this morning together and yes, Lord. I just want us to come and respond to the Lord this morning. Oh, we want to come before you, Lord Jesus. We want to honor you this morning, Lord Jesus, as our Lord and our Savior. We want to honor you this morning, Lord, as the one who died and you rose again from the grave, and you died to give us access to the Spirit. Lord, that we're a people who follow Jesus by the power of the Holy Spirit. And we thank you this morning, Lord, that you've given us an inheritance. You've given us a portion. That our portion isn't just to work hard in this life and to be oxygen thieves and to have a family and have a career and to then... But Lord, our job is to make a difference in this earth. Lord, that our job is to be your ambassadors, Lord. And I thank you this morning that you desire to anoint us and to empower us. You desire, Lord, to give us the power to be men and women that do impossible things. And this morning, Lord, we want to seek after you. We want to say before you this morning, we need you, Lord. We can't do anything in our own strength. We need the power of the Holy Spirit. Just where we are right now, I want us just to say, there's a thing of because the Holy Spirit is a person, as we receive Jesus, there is a thing sometimes that we can just say, Holy Spirit, we receive you. And we can also ask the Lord Jesus, say, Lord Jesus, would you fill me with your Spirit? It actually says that he will baptize you in the Holy Spirit. He will refresh you. He will give you the power you need. And where you are, just can we stretch out our hands, each one of us, to stretch out your hands and to say, Lord, I need you this morning. Would you refresh me? Would you come and pour rivers of living water into the dry places? Maybe places where you're dry this morning. Let the Lord come. Just fill me. Fill me, Lord. Fill me, Lord. Maybe there's parts of your life that are even dead. Maybe you've died to certain things that you hardened. Just say, Lord, would you make that alive today? Maybe parts of your life where you're dead to certain things. Just say, Lord, make it alive. Bring life again. Bring what's life. Bring life, Lord. We want to invite you here, Lord God. We pray, Lord Jesus, that you'd come and that you would come and fill us with your Spirit. We welcome you, Holy Spirit. We say you are welcome here. You're the dove among us. You're the may you be the oil that would lubricate and to flood over us this morning. We welcome you. You're welcome here. We want to surrender to you, Lord. We want you to take control. One of the words for in Ephesians chapter 5, it says, be filled with the Spirit. Don't be drunk with wine. And what it means be controlled by the Spirit. Let him control you. And even now, just maybe you need to give up control. Maybe you've been fearful. Just, you know, the Holy Spirit, in a sense, is gentle and kind. He's kind. And just say, Lord, I give up control. Would you fill me? In Jesus' name. Fill me, Lord. Would you fill me this morning? Welcome you, Lord. Welcome you here, Lord. Welcome you here, Lord. We welcome you here, God. Just draw from him right now, just in a sense, a posture of receiving. Just say, Lord, I receive from you. I receive from you. Just with every eye closed, I want to read a scripture to you in the book of Luke. Are you guys fine standing? Just keep standing. It's in Luke chapter 11, and it says this, for everyone, and I tell you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened. What father among you, if a son asks for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a serpent? Or if you ask for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? I want to say this morning, Lord, we want to seek, we knock, we ask, and you promise, Lord, that as we ask of you, you're a good Father, and you give the Spirit to those who ask. And what I want us to do, just we're going to go into a song of worship. And if you are sensing the Lord, you have a sense right now of the Lord. It's like you know the Lord is pressing on you. You know that the Lord wants to bring you into more. What I want us to do is actually want to create space where you can come to the front and we can pray for you. Where we can actually just, you know, the Bible says we can often lay on of hands and trust for the Lord to come and refresh you or empower you or fill you. And if that's you, then we're going to worship. And if you sense the Lord, something of the Lord on you, I want to ask you to be obedient and just slip out and come to the front. And yeah, you want to lead us? Can we do that now? Is there anyone this morning? Come to the front. Those who feel like you need, specifically, I mean, we all need to be refreshed, but like you know the Lord is on you. It's like you know that you know the Lord is on me. I have to respond. I've got to. Devolt and Anae, I'd love to pray for you guys. I feel like the Lord wants to come and do something in your life this morning. And anyone else this morning, come forward. And I want to ask some of the leaders and folk just to come gather around the folk that have responded. Come gather around them. Come pray for them. If you just want to just worship as well, just receive from the Lord this morning. Worship you, Lord.
I'm giving you my heart and all that is within. I lay it all down for the sake of you, my King. Giving you my dreams, laying down my right, giving up my pride for the promise of you.
Giving you my heart.
Giving you my heart and all that is within. Waiting at the cross. in joy, even sharing in your name. I surrender all to you, all to you.
Can we just worship together as we carry on?
Jesus, holy and anointed one.
Let's just worship. Let's raise up our hands and worship.
Jesus,
let's sing the name of Jesus.
Honey on my lips, your spirit like water to my soul. Your word is a lamp unto my feet. Jesus, I love you. I love you. Your name is like honey on my lips. Your spirit like water to my soul. Your word is a lamp unto my feet. Jesus, I love you.
Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful, who was so faithful, who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer.
Oh yeah, soon in glory.
Soon in glory, bright and clouded, there will be no need for prayer, and the rapture, praise and endless worship will be our sweet portion there.
Soon in glory, oh yeah.
Soon in glory, bright and clouded, there will be no need for prayer. Rapture, praise, and endless worship will be our sweet portion there.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh God, we thank you for this morning. Lord Jesus, thank you for reminding us that you did not leave us on our own. That you never meant to leave us alone. You were meant to send us another counselor, another counselor, one that will be with us forever until we meet you face to face. Oh God, that the things we would do in this world would be even greater than what you did. Oh God, that you empower us by your Spirit to be able to engage with you, that the Spirit takes from what is yours and makes it known to us, that we can call upon you by the Spirit, that we can access the Father by the Spirit through you, oh God. What an amazing thing, Lord, that you don't just leave us on our own. Jesus, I ask this morning and I pray and I thank you that you've done something, but want to ask you to continue to do what you started this morning so that we could be a Spirit-filled people, empowered by your Spirit, oh God, that you would unburden, that you enliven, oh God, that you would wake something up in us that will cause us to live that way.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
To live in step with you, oh God. Lord, tomorrow morning, it must be different. It mustn't be like this week. We must change. We must move. We must move on. We must grow from glory to glory. Oh God. Lord, I pray that we would be a Spirit-filled, empowered people going into this week with great passion and conviction and with great assurance, like the Thessalonians said. There must be a great assurance, the certainty, this knowing that God is with us. God is with us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Coffee at the back.